TV.
Okay, this is as good as it gets today. The last couple of days, I feel like my body's shutting down. I feel like my body is way ahead of the medical professionals. In other words, like my body is shutting down for death. That's what it feels like to me. It's like, it feels like to me like I'm in my last days of living. And like, why are the, as much as I complain about the medical profession, why are they leaving me alone now? Like, I gotta get some pain intelligence going on here, because the last couple of days, all I've wanted to do is sleep, and I can't even like stand up correctly. I'm standing up and like falling backwards a little bit. It's like not normal, and I don't know if it's because I'm mixing pain medication wrong, or like, why does this hurt constantly? And I woke up last night, it was bleeding, and the ER doesn't do any good. I just have to call the right doctor, I guess, but I don't know who to call. So I'm going to get with Stacy today and have her figure some things out for me, because it's just something ain't right. I have a feeling that, well, what do my feelings have to do with anything? Really. So I shouldn't even be making a show. So I'm going to shut up right now about all of that. I'm going to bring you the long-awaited article on faith and salvation. I'm just going to read it. Let's see how I comment as I go. I should start it over because it's been so damn long. This is by Will Powell. I will start here. In order for a man's belief to be valid, the object of his belief must be valid. Believing in something which is not true cannot make it true, and conversely, not believing in something that is true cannot make it false. Faith enables us to enter into the reality of that which is already true, but it cannot create truth out of something which is not already true. Unbelief cannot disestablish truth. What is true whether anyone believes it or not. Genuine belief is trusting that which is already an objective, unrejectable truth. And we know that objective, unrejectable truth to be Christ died for the sins of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He died on the cross for our sins, died, gave his life, was dead for 3 days, and justified and saved the entire human race. The real question is not whether or not we believe, and this is true, but whether the object of our belief is valid and trustworthy. That's what really counts. Is what we're believing in is actually valid or trustworthy. If Jesus actually took the sentence of death that belonged to all humanity, God's justice was completely satisfied when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Then the efficacy, that is the actual working of Jesus' work, is a valid object of our belief. That's if those other things are true. And they most certainly are true. Those things are, again, the real question is not whether or not we believe, but whether the object of our belief is valid and trustworthy. If Jesus actually took the sentence of death that belonged to all men, God's justice was completely satisfied when Jesus cried, "It is finished." And that's true. Then, that being true, which it is, then the efficacy the trueness, the effectiveness of Jesus' work is a valid object of our faith. On the other hand, if Jesus did not actually suffer the death penalty for all humanity, and if God's justice was not fully satisfied by his sacrifice, and our belief that he did will avail us nothing. That's right, believing he did when he really didn't will avail nothing. The word belief has been used in ways to confuse the issue. Beyond question, belief is commanded throughout the scriptures. In Paul's gospel, it's not commanded, it's an exhortation. I don't like that word. It's not true, commanded. Paul doesn't command belief, he exhorts us to believe. And he would only exhort us to believe in something that was true. And to keep quoting this man in my own words, you can't believe something. You can if you want to, but you're stupid. You can't believe something that's not true. And neither would an intelligent man under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a man named Paul. He would never ask anyone to believe something that's not true. That would be stupid. Paul is anything but stupid. So on the other hand, if Jesus didn't... The word believe has been used in ways that confuse the issue. Beyond question, belief is exhorted throughout the scriptures, but this does not necessarily prove that a man's belief can establish the efficacy. I hate that word. It's such a complicated word. Efficacy. God damn it. I'm going to thesaurus.com. I know what it means. There's just got to be a better word for it. Efficacy. I hate that word. Always have. Seems so pompous to me. Efficacy. Adequacy. Why don't you just say adequacy then? Competence. Effectiveness. Why the hell? What's wrong with effectiveness? Potency. Virtue. Efficacy. God. I'm going to say the effectiveness. Why the hell not say that? Efficacy. God damn that word. Stupidest word I ever heard. Always hated it. You know when I started to hate it? During Grace Cafe in 1999 when... Who started using that word all the time? I thought he was just using it to sound smart. What was the guy's name? I can't even remember. One of the guys that usually didn't talk very much, he would say efficacy. And I wasn't uber familiar with the word. Why does he keep saying efficacy? And he says it over and over again as though he's gaining cred. So I'm just going to say, what did I say? I was going to say the efficiency. Yeah. The workability, the fact that it worked, the efficacy. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Belief is exhorted throughout scriptures, but this is not necessarily proved that a human's belief can establish the effectiveness of God's work on the cross. Our assurance of salvation cannot be based upon what we believe God did for us on the cross, but only upon what he actually accomplished for us in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our only hope lies in what God has done, not in what we believe he has done. That's a good one. Let me read that again. Our only hope lies in what God has done, not in what we believe he has done. We are saved by what God did 2,000 years ago, and not by what we try to do. I would have emphasized the word try, not the word do. And not by what we try to do 2,000 years later. We are saved by what God did 2,000 years ago, not by what we try to do 2,000 years later. Dr. Hudson is right. He just brings this Dr. Hudson guy out of nowhere. But I know where he's getting this. This Will Powell must be familiar with my work, because I'm the one that brought up this track that I got around 1987 in Greenwich, Ohio at the grocery store. I found it at the grocery store. The owners of the grocery store, can't remember their names, were Christians. And they had this track there as though they were helping everybody out. This is the most contradictory track you'll ever read. I will read it for you. I must. Dr. Hudson is right when he says that salvation cannot be gained by our works. That's what he says. But then he turns around and says that man's belief work, man's faith, which is a work, is the factor, thus it's a work, which qualifies him, thus it's a work, for God's saving grace, thus, of course, it's a work. It should be agreed that whatever a man does to be saved must be construed as his work, regardless of what name we attach to it. We are told that we need to do nothing to be saved except believe. But we are never told precisely what we must believe. That is true. That's a good one. If we believe that God's work in Christ saved us 2,000 years ago, we will be considered heretical. Yeah. Christians want you to believe. Just believe. But if we say, if we believe, okay, what do you believe? The Christian asks the wannabe saved person. I believe that God's work in Christ saved me 2,000 years ago. Well, you see, I don't really believe they will be considered heretical. They should be. Because what they're saying is that they believe that Christ's work saved us 2,000 years ago. But if the person has reasonable intelligence, they're claiming that that work was done irrespective of my belief. But if we say that, if we say that it was done irrespective of my belief, they will consider us heretical. If we say that Christ saved us, Christ saved me, I believe, the Christian says, what do you believe? We say, I believe Christ saved me 2,000 years ago, but only in combination with my modern, current 2026 belief. That makes Christ's work real. Otherwise, Christ's work is a fiction. But if we allow that this work was done independently of our belief, and that our belief simply attaches to a fact, then we will be considered heretical, like I am, like you are. But a belief in belief seems to be equally heretical. It is heretical, and that's what the Christians do. They believe in their belief. Their belief is the thing. They believe in their belief. Let me say it again. They believe in their belief. Christianity believes in their belief. They believe that their belief saves them. They don't believe Jesus Christ saves them. They believe their belief saves them. If this is the last show I make, then that would be the message. That would be the exposure of the lie that belief saves you. No, it doesn't. Belief acquaints you with an already made salvation. Already done salvation. Thus, belief is a caboose that follows the engine. It's not the engine. The caboose on a train, I guess they don't have cabooses anymore. I don't care. Just any other car on the train besides the engine has no independent source of power. Only the engine has power. I'll tell you what this moron says in a second if you haven't heard it. If we believe that God's work in Christ saved us 2,000 years ago, apart from our belief, we will be considered heretical. Congratulations if you are. But a belief in belief seems to be equally heretical. No, it's actually heretical. The first one's not really heretical. It's true. But belief in belief is actually freaking, not only heretical, stupid. If God's work in the cross failed to save us, then on what grounds will it save us now? Good one. If God's work in the cross 2,000 years ago failed to save us, on what grounds will it save us now, 2,000 years later? Simply because we believe it will save us now? What has changed? Have we done something which, when added to Jesus' work, will make the cross suddenly acquire efficacy? Ah, get that. Suddenly require effectiveness? Will it suddenly be effective, Christ's cross, now that Almighty we believe it? Of course not. Number one, if Christ's work on the cross was sufficient to save us in itself, and I might add by itself, then we must believe that it saved us. Because we like to believe true things. And we will believe that it saved us. Because we like to believe true things. When our eyes have been opened to this truth. What truth? That Christ saved us 2,000 years ago. Number two. If Christ's work on the cross was not sufficient to save us. And no Christian will admit to that. Even though it's what they believe. Unless you corner them, they'll never admit that that's what they actually believe. That Jesus Christ's work 2,000 years ago saved no one. That's what they actually believe. That is what they actually believe, ladies and gentlemen. How would Cosell here explaining to you the insane Christian belief that Jesus Christ actually saved no one at the cross? And that the only way he can save you is if in 2026 you believe him. But what does that change, ladies and gentlemen? What does believing in him 2,000 years later have to do with what he did 2,000 years ago? Absolutely nothing. Back to the text, if Christ's work on the cross was not sufficient to save us in itself, then no amount of believing on our part will ever save us. Yet Christians say it will. Just believe, 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 believe what? Ask them that. You must believe, believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus. Believe what? Believe that he died for your sins. Oh, did he die for my sins? Did he? Yes, he did. He did die for sins. All right, well, let me pause a couple minutes while I decide whether I believe that or not. No, you don't understand. He didn't die for your sins unless you believe he died. How the hell could me believing something in 2026 change something that happened in the year 2000? I mean, the year 33 AD, 2,000 years ago. How? We believe in time machines. I don't know. We believe in unicorns. We believe in leprechauns. I don't know. Freaking idiots. They've been deceived by Satan. Dr. Hudson's. There he is. Dr. Curtis Hudson. By name. By trade. He's a moron. He's actually a trained Christian professor. Dr. Hudson's distinction between faith and works is confusing because his message is confusing. You will see how confusing it is. By his personalized, individualized salvation, he automatically rejects the causal, another word I hate, causal, determinate work of God in the cross of Jesus as a violation of his free will. That's a confusing sentence. Hell, I don't even understand it. If Dr. Hudson's distinction between faith and works is confusing, because his message is confusing. Okay. But his personalized, individualized salvation, by by his personalized, individualized salvation. Like each person has to make that decision. He automatically rejects the causal, that is, that thing that effected causal determined the work of God in the cross of Jesus as a violation of his free will. I don't even understand that fucking sentence. He calls God's causality in the death and resurrection of Jesus a forced salvation. Which it is, of course. But a forced salvation must be rejected by free will men as morally unacceptable, because it's morally unacceptable for God to force salvation on everyone. And yet, God does force salvation on everyone because he saved everyone before they were even born. Forced it on them. People are born saying, what happened? Oh, you were saved by Christ 2,000 years ago. I didn't want to be saved by Christ. Too late, you already were. So shut up and suckle your mama's bosom and eat your pre-chewed beet mush and shut the fuck up, because we're going to tell you what Jesus Christ did before you were born. You have no choice. What if I don't want to believe it? Well, you're going to believe it someday, whether you like it or not. But God, why does God force himself on me? Because you're too stupid to save yourself. Because you're flailing in a river. You're panicking. You're screaming for help. You want to be saved, but you're too dumb to know how to be saved. So God saved you apart from you because you're unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid. There's no one seeking out God. Sorry, that's you. There's no one seeking out God, not one. They've all gone out of the way. Everyone's stupid. Everyone needs saved apart from themselves. But I think this confusing paragraph by Will Powell is trying to make the point that God is not a gentleman God. It is a forced salvation, but that very concept, quote, must be rejected by free will men as morally unacceptable. However, when his eyes have been opened to the blessedness of God's controlling hand in the work of Jesus on the cross, he will then gladly bow to God's control. It's true. One, either man's free will choice must go or God must go. And God will not go. That I like. That was finally. No causal. No efficacy here. Just a plain statement. I love this. Either man's free will choice must go or God must go. You can't have both. And God will not go. God refuses to go because he's God. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. So guess what has to go? The idiotic man-made philosophy of human free will. And that will go. It'll go. So anybody holding it now is like holding a ghost doctrine. Like they're holding a phantom. And you believe in free will. Good luck with that. You're like holding onto a phantom, a ghost. It will go because free will can't survive God having the only free will in the universe. So if you want to hold on to that, you might as well be holding on to the air. You're not stupid. I love this. Either man's free will choice must go or God must go. And God will not go. You can't say the same about human free will. It will go. That's a good one. Number two, the concept of man's free will choice denies the work of God in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It does, because it says that the work of God in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ does not apply, did not happen, unless you make it magically happen, unless with your free will time machine, that's really what free will is, it's a ghost time machine that magically makes God and Christ's work on the cross effective, magically. It's amazing. How can a ghost do that? How can a phantom philosophy do that? That's a good one, Zender. Thank you. The phantom philosophy of human free will. I bet you wish you'd have thought of that, Will Powell. Phantom philosophy. Instead of concept. The phantom philosophy of man's free will choice must go. Or God must go. And God will not go. What did I call it? the fanciful philosophy, fucked up philosophy, with something with an F. The fanciful philosophy of man's free will choice denies the work of God. Verse 3, anything which a man does by his, quote, free will choice, such as believing, accepting, receiving, in order to be saved, is nothing other than his cross-denying, God-dishonoring work. Oh my God, I love that. Anything which man does by his, quote, free will choice, such as believing in Jesus, accepting Jesus, receiving Jesus into my heart. You know what all that is? You know what all that is? It's worse than bullshit. It's this. All this in order to be saved. Receiving Jesus in my heart in order to be saved. Accepting Jesus as my Savior in order to be saved. Believing on Jesus in order to be saved. You know what it is? It's worse than bullshit, folks. It is nothing other than cross-denying, a man's cross-denying, denying the cross, denying the effectiveness, the efficacy, if you will, denying the effectiveness of the cross and dishonoring God's work. What God did, the complete dishonoring of it. Because you're bringing up a ghost, something that came out of an air popper, exhaust gas, something that is freaking, which is believe, accept, receive. Receive the Lord for my salvation. Oh, you did, that's it, right now it happened. No. Anybody who does all that, see, the big difference is Christians think that's when they were saved. There is believing. There is receiving. There are these things. The reason Will Powell makes fun of it and totally demolishes it here is because the Christians look at it as the thing that gets them saved. They're looking at it as the moment of salvation. That's how they see it. They don't see it the way we see it. We see it as the moment we come into a realization of our salvation. We come to realize what was already done for us 2,000 years before we were born. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll end with this. I'll get to Hudson tomorrow. I'll get to this track tomorrow. This guy he's been referencing, you're going to hear about this tomorrow. You're going to freak. That's the difference. They think belief saves you. They think accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is what makes him your Savior. No. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is an acceptance that he has been your freaking Savior for freaking 2,000 years, but he has withheld the information from you until now, and now you come to a realization of it, and you realize that it's true, and your realization doesn't make it true. Your realization, let's put it this way, makes it true for you personally. Doesn't make it true. Does not make it true. Let nobody say, I'm saying it makes it true. It makes it real in your life. It makes it practical in your life. You understand what was done. You don't make it done. And I pray that someone who has never understood this understands it today.